Obama at the G20. First, the bad news.
The challenge is clear. The global economy is contracting. Trade is shrinking. Unemployment is rising. The international finance system is nearly frozen.
Obama declares the G20 summit a success, even as the global economy looks sicker. Some agreement, some disagreement. Hey, not a single shoe was thrown.
Oh my God, shoes.
Some good news. It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI.
Good morning. It's Friday, April the 3rd. I'm Femi Okay. Adora Udoji is spending time with her new baby girl. Coming up this hour, we will discuss the unemployment figures for March, which will be released later this morning. We'll also talk about what the deployment of more American troops to Afghanistan means for those country's civilians. And we'll also preview the Final Four in men's and women's college basketball, which takes place this weekend. Those stories coming up, but first, headlines.
Summit hopping? Is it as fun as party hopping? President Obama can let us know. He just arrived in France for the NATO summit, fresh from the G20 in London. He called the London summit a success.
We finished a very productive summit. There will be, I believe, a turning point in our pursuit of global economic recovery.
The president meets today with two of the leaders who pushed hard against more stimulus money, French President Nicolas Sarkozy and German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Meanwhile, the G20 leaders did decide to create a program that will regulate banks and hedge funds more closely, and they also pledged $1.1 trillion in loans to poor countries. Femi?
Thousands of protesters are expected to be present for the NATO summit, just as they were for the G20. Riot police have already used tear gas to break up a group that was throwing rocks and bottles. And here in the United States, former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich has been indicted on federal corruption charges. His successor, Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, says the indictment is necessary in order to avoid future scandals.
There is a serious crisis of integrity in our government. And I think it's very, very important that we, the people, confront this crisis, enact the reforms that will solve the problems, and make sure that they never happen again.
The charges come 2 months after Blagojevich was impeached and removed from office.
Yeah, but can they get a conviction? That's the question. The Labor Department will release a report today showing that the total number of jobs lost last month is expected to be in the neighborhood of 650,000. We'll find out exactly at about 8:30 Eastern time this morning. Dow and S&P both went up nearly 3% yesterday as the rally continues. The S&P opens at 8:34, and futures suggest there will be another positive opening this morning. So, Femi, have you ever had this happen? Somebody comes up to you and says, you know, you're in my shower every morning.
Yeah, so I wake up with you in the morning.
We are in a virtual community here on the radio, on The Takeaway. You all know where we are. We're in a studio
exactly.
In New York City, but we don't know that much about where you are. Okay, so what we want you to do, it's a little experiment. We'll explain later what it's all about. 8778-MY-TAKE. Call. All you have to do is tell us your name, where you are, exactly what you're doing. It can be mundane. It can be insane.
Hi, this is Jay in Brooklyn, and currently I'm playing referee between two warring cats.
Are you in your kitchen? Are you in your car? Are you in the workplace? Call in. 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. What are you doing?
The Takeaway is made possible by Liberty Mutual's Responsibility Project, encouraging discussion about what it means to do the right thing. ResponsibilityProject.com.
The Takeaway is supported by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, advancing journalistic excellence in the digital age. More information about the Foundation's digital initiatives at KnightFoundation.org.
You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji.
Good morning, everyone. Quick reminder, we're exploring the virtual community called the Takeaway audience and, of course, the radio hosts, Femi Oke and myself.
Right.
You know where we are. We're in a studio in New York City, but where are you? Check in at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org. We got people in the kitchen, people in the cars, workplace.
Mm-hmm.
We got people in bedroom, possibly, maybe
yes.
In the bathroom.
Yeah,
who's
the
most responsive? I bet the kitchen people will be the most responsive. Call us at 8778-MY-TAKE. Tell us exactly what you're doing. We'll explain later. Mytake at thetakeaway.org. That's how you can reach us. We do a lot of numbers on this program, of course, and the March unemployment figures come out at 8:30 this morning, but it's even more important to find some faces and voices behind those numbers. And as far as unemployment unemployment is concerned, the length of time, the challenges of dealing with employment issues in an economy this week. Those are all very human questions, and here to talk about them, John Fox joins us from Taylorsville, North Carolina. He's a construction worker. John, how are you doing this morning?
Fine, thank you.
Great. Dan Gross, senior editor at Newsweek, columnist for Slate, is in Washington, D.C. to help give us some context here. Dan, thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And from right here in New York City up in Harlem, Janet joins us. She just wants to use her first name. Janet, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Good morning.
Great. John, let me begin with you. How long have you been out of work?
13 months.
13 months. Now, you know, I can imagine a month, I can imagine two or three, but 13 months, I mean, what's your strategy right now? And how are you going to begin the day with the idea that you have 13 months of unemployment behind you?
Well, basically, I just start every day thanking God that I'm able to get up and able to go out and try to find something.
Are you still on unemployment, John, or has that run out yet?
No, it's narrowing down, which I was unable to draw it till actually I had worked a couple part-time jobs, temporary positions, and made enough just to make enough. It basically just buys a few groceries, and that's about it.
Now, you're a construction worker. We all understand that the housing crisis has dire implications for people in construction. Are you looking at jobs outside of your normal industry?
Yes, I initially, when our project closed down, I came back to North Carolina and started looking for, figured, well, it wouldn't be any problem to find a construction project or a construction job at another company or something of that nature, but lo and behold, I found out that there was nothing available and nobody spending any money, and to go outside my field of construction management, I found to be closed doors everywhere I turn.
So what have you tried for? What have you tried for, John?
Well, pretty much any type of job. I was basically looking for some sort of supervision or management positions, and then after no luck with that, I just started looking for basically anything that was available. And where I live at in the region down here in western North Carolina, manufacturing has been what's been the most popular thing in this part of the country, and there's not even no manufacturing work. I've never really worked manufacturing, so it makes me really unqualified for anything that they have around here. So I find myself unqualified for anything since the construction business is upside down.
Well, John, it gets me steamed to hear people who've been out of work claiming that they're unqualified. We ought to all be able to find something that we're qualified for, and the employment market should help to do that. Hold on there a second. I want to ask Janet a question. You have managed to find your way back to the workforce, Janet. How tough was that?
It's been quite a journey. It was a rough year. But when I was unemployed, I basically went to temp positions, which is a reputable temp agency here in New York City, and I had a great meeting with their placement manager, and she just, I think before the end of the day, before I even got back home that day after interviewing with her, she had already called me with an opportunity, and I basically told her, I was like, I'll do anything. I'll mop floors. I don't care what I have to do, but place me somewhere, and I'll take it from there.
Now, you don't want to use your last name because you're concerned that you actually might do something to cause this job to go away, right?
Well, people know where I'm working now, and I'm not allowed to represent where I'm working now.
Right.
You know, we have policies against that. And I'm in human resources, so it was just a matter of not breaking the policy.
No, that's fine. That's totally fine. So, Dan Gross, first of all, the unemployment statistics are a raw number. It was 8.1% in February. It's expected to be worse in March. But behind those numbers, how does the Labor Department track the experience of, say, John Fox, 13 months going from supervisory to I'll take anything to I'm unqualified for manufacturing, and, you know, Janet's situation where she feels, okay, maybe she has a job, but it's precarious. Anything could happen.
Well, they do measure things like, you know, the amount of long-term unemployment, people who are working part-time, but, you know, would really like to be working full-time. And, you know, all those numbers, as well as the headline number, are at, you know, levels we haven't seen in basically a generation. But they don't do the best job of, you know, it's very difficult to capture this kind of sense of frustration of people, you know, taking sort of whatever job is available or, you know, feeling like they have to switch industries entirely. You know, we always talk about our economy as being this really dynamic thing where industries are constantly rising and falling and labor is mobile and flexible. And in the aggregate, you know, that's true over time. It's just that when you're dealing on the individual level, and you could put yourself in any of these shoes because we work in industries that are going through these types of change, if my publication ceased to exist, you know, it would take me a long time before I said to myself, I'm going to move to another part of the country. I'm going to try to get out of this industry. You know, we're all good at what we do and are reluctant to kind of just switch wholesale in search of employment.
John, this is Femi here. When we're looking at the unemployment statistics, there's also a lot of conversation about this is an opportunity. This is an opportunity maybe to reinvent yourself. Do you feel that every week when the new stats come out and you're still actually looking for work?
John?
Yes.
John, do you feel like you know, this economy is an invitation for you to reinvent yourself in some way?
Well, I keep hope that it will be a way to reinvent myself. Even considered the possibilities of going back to school, but being out of work so long now has kind of made it impossible to even fund that venture. But I don't know, with the economy the way it is right where we live, all the manufacturing is disappearing, all the other type of industries are disappearing. Of course, where we live in this area, the major banks are having their issues as well.
Sure.
Around the Charlotte area and the Hickory area and everywhere up in here, it's just really devastating, the numbers that are on the downhill side with the employment. So,
well, you're up in double digits there in Taylorsville, North Carolina. John and Janet, let me ask you one quick question, and then we'll get a final word from Dan Gross. You know, you had dreams and ideas about what you'd be doing, say, 2-3 years from now, both of you. Have those totally changed, Janet?
No, not at all for me. I'm very hopeful and definitely looking to still pursue all of my personal goals career-wise, but you just have to stay positive. I know that times are really hard, but every moment of your life is an opportunity to get some kind of work, and that's how I looked at it. And where doors are closing, you're going to have to jam them open and create opportunities. And like for me, going to a temp agency was a way to create a new opportunity and make new connections.
Well, so, good luck to you, Janet. That's great advice. John Fox, have you changed completely your idea of what you're going to be doing in the next 2-3 years?
Yes, I have. Because when my position came to an end, I had the next 3 or 4 years mapped out. That project was supposed to at least last that long. And then after that, I was going to take over the resort and kind of look after it. But now that everything's kind of the way it is, I'm trying just to look in a different area. But I keep my head up every day and stay positive and thank the Lord that he has provided me with food and shelter, and that's, you know, he provides our needs, not our wants. So,
well, John Fox, we are grateful you joined us this morning on the program. Dan Gross, there is the signs and those two voices of a shifting labor force, and it'll take years for that to shake out. Give us a last word.
Well, I think, you know, the experience of the two callers highlights what's going on around the country in terms of in different labor markets. We have a lot of parts of the country where things are very concentrated. You have banking or autos or real estate, which is the case in North Carolina.
And you know, 8.1%, you know, they give you a raw number from the Labor Department, but
right,
there's so much going on behind the scenes. So Dan Gross, senior editor at Newsweek and columnist for Slate, thanks so much. Janet joined us from Harlem, John from North Carolina, the labor force in Voices.
You can email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org or call us toll-free at 877-8-MYTAKE.
869-8253. There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.